On this first Sunday of Advent, we think about what it means to wait for Christ to come. Not in the manger, as we will towards the end of Advent, but in that second coming, that time when the Son of Man will come in the clouds and shine with all power and glory, as we hear Jesus described today. And we know, of course, that we are to look for what we would call the second coming of Christ. We are to have some expectation that Jesus will show up in this world in clear and definitive ways, that all will be able to recognize Christ's power, glory, and rule. And yet there are times we probably have a hard time thinking that this is imminent, thinking that this is right around the corner, because it has been quite some time since we have seen it happen, and since this promise has been made. We not have only our own lives, but 2,000 years of church history in which we haven't seen the coming in this way. And so we may doubt a little bit if this is truly even going to happen. Which is what we hear about, I think, in our second reading today, as we hear that sometimes our faith may be lacking, that Paul wants to restore the faith of the Thessalonians, just as we may need our faith restored, that this day is indeed surely coming. And of course, we have other challenges today that's not just remembering that, yeah, this day is coming and we should prepare for it. But Jesus is very clear that there are other things that are going to distract us, to disrupt our preparations, to make us not see the work that God is doing in our midst. Indeed, Christ says very clearly, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. But on the earth, distress among nations, and the rage in the foaming sea and waves. In short, God is going to be at work. These celestial bodies remind us of that heavenly realm. God is acting, but we don't see it because we're too distracted by our challenges, by the chaos that is unfolding around us, by all that is swirling here on this earth, and by the way the nations are at odds and at war with one another. Distressed. That we can look around this world and know that it's not perfect, that it does not have justice and righteousness executed within it as it should. And so we can think we're supposed to do this. We can want to devote our time, our effort, our energy to making things the way we know they should be. And of course, as we do this, we will be investing our attention, our sense of urgency, in that which does not pay attention to what God is up to the signs God is bringing about. We have the opportunity in such moments to get distracted. And of course, that's easy to say when we're not caught up in the midst of it, when that chaos is not swirling at our own doorstep. And so, this isn't to say in any way, shape, or form that, boy, we're all doing terribly because we get distracted. Well, it's easy to get distracted because there are significant things that are wrong. There are true challenges we experience. And indeed, let's extend this analogy that Jesus has given to us about raging waves and the foam and think about ourselves as a little ship on the ocean. And these waves are battering against us. We see that we are taking on water. There are only storm clouds overhead. And while, sure, we can be aware that there is still the sun and the moon and the stars shining behind those clouds, on this given moment, it does not seem to make sense to look up there, but instead to deal with the challenges we see right here in the boat. Others, including ourselves, would think we were nuts if we stopped and said, you know what, I really want to pay attention to the sun, the moon, and the stars right now. Like you can't even see them. And we're taking on water. We have to deal with these issues. And of course, that in and of itself is the challenge. That is how easily we get distracted because we know, to us, these things are important. And yet God is ever at work in ways that we miss. Tending to this coming of God's kingdom. having it in break into our midst. And of course, this distraction is not limited to the times of chaos and distress. No, there are other times that we will look up at the heavens and we can see the sun, the moon, the stars. But we don't see God's signs. We don't recognize God's action. And so we get tired of looking up and we say, well, I guess for now I will try to steer the boat. I'll try to get from one place to another, and all of a sudden we can get caught up in that, in the monotony of our days, the daily thrum that we are engaged in, now eclipses the urgent expectancy of God's inbreaking kingdom. And so we struggle to see it. Jesus, of course, is much clearer after this parable of the fig tree. He says, outright, do not let your hearts be troubled and weighed down by greed, by drunkenness, by devoting your resources and expending yourselves, by this dissipation and all these other ways that would cause you to miss it, to not recognize what God is doing. Instead, be alert. We struggle to maintain that perspective, especially when it doesn't seem so urgent. And yet we hear that we are to believe and to trust that this day is surely coming. This is what Jeremiah says to the people in exile. The day is surely coming, says the Lord, and I will raise up this righteous branch who will execute justice and righteousness. Jesus tells the people of his day that it is imminent. This generation will not pass away before they see these things take place. And while we may hear that and say, maybe he was wrong, I think Jesus' words still echo down across the generations and tell us that each generation has the opportunity to be attentive to God's inbreaking kingdom, that God has not stopped working across these generations, that God has been having signs of God's power and presence of grace and glory breaking forth among us, and each generation has the opportunity to become distracted by the chaos that swirls around them. And so, yes, here today, this generation will see these things take place. We are to look and to recognize that God is on the move. There are signs of God's power and presence. We are to be attentive to Christ coming into our midst. The Son of Man still shines with power and glory from the heavens. This was true in Jesus' own day as he came in the flesh and revealed God's glory here. This was true after the resurrection, as Jesus ascended into heaven and revealed God's glory and power, and this is true today, dear brothers and sisters. And so we are called to be attentive and alert to this God who is still coming. And we are also invited, I think, to engage in this world in certain ways as we await Christ's return. Not in ways that get us overwhelmed or distracted, but in ways that help us point to the reign of God breaking forth in our midst, this future that God is bringing about that is crashing into our present moment. The first piece of this, I think, relates to justice and righteousness. These moments where we see the world is not as it should be and we want to fix it. No, we hear today that this righteous branch is the one who will be raised up, who will execute justice and righteousness. Our job is to point to the one who is truly righteous. We point to Christ, this Son of David, who alone reveals to us what is just and what is right and what is true. It is not up to us. We will get it wrong if we try to figure out how to execute justice and righteousness in the land. It is not up to others who will tell us they know how to do it. It is up to Christ alone. And it is our conviction of this that helps us maintain a focus for Christ's presence in the world. And Christ, make no mistake, will invite us to participate in the justice and righteousness that he is bringing about. But Christ is the source of it. Christ is the one who executes it. It is not our plan, not our decisions to make the world as it should be. Christ has already done that at the cross. And we are to follow where our Savior leads us. That's step one. Remember, it is Christ who brings justice and righteousness. Step two, we find in Thessalonians. We are to meet together as we wait. We are to encourage one another to continue to look for Christ's coming, to look for God's power and presence in our midst. This is what Paul longs to do for this nascent community. Oh, how I long to be restored to you, that I might be able to restore what is ever lacking in your faith, that I might be able to equip and encourage you in this journey. And make no mistake, we are to do this for one another as we gather together. We are to help each other remain anchored in this perspective that says the coming of Christ is certain and sure. That we can look with eager anticipation for what Christ would bring about, for this justice and righteousness of God's kingdom. And what's more is we, as we gather, can begin practicing living in that kingdom now. This is the prayer Paul has for this community, that they may abound in love for one another and for all. This saturation of love is what we are called to do and how we are called to be as we await this coming of Christ in our midst. We are to be attentive to the ways we can build one another up, where we can celebrate and share this love of Christ that we have received, where we can point out the ways in which God is still at work, the signs that God is doing that point to this type of community where we abound in love for one another and for all. And of course, this is still difficult. Even trying to help each other, we still struggle to maintain such a perspective, especially in the midst of the swirling chaos that surrounds us, in the midst of the distress we see in this world, and those broken places that we know just aren't right. Which is why I think Paul tells us in this prayer and asks in this prayer for God to strengthen this community of faith, God to strengthen us and our hearts in holiness, that we may stand blameless before Christ when Christ comes with all the saints. That we cannot do this on our own. We will need the strength of God at work in our lives and in our hearts if we are to stand. If we are to maintain this perspective. But such strength, I believe, comes today, dear brothers and sisters, in this meal that we share. Here in this bread and wine and body and blood, Christ, our Savior, the Son of Man, comes with power and glory and is here to address our brokenness, to offer us a forgiveness of sins, to strengthen and nourish us. This is where our blamelessness comes from what Christ has done for us, from the strengthening that God would offer us in this meal. And here we are bound to one another and are called to abound in love for each other and for all. We are sent forth, strengthened and nourished, to point to the justice and righteousness Christ is bringing about. We are sent forth to celebrate and share the love we have received with all. And as we go, we maintain a perspective that says this coming of Christ, the Son of Man, is certain and sure. And this anchors us through the chaos of this world, through the distress that we see, and helps us point back to Christ. Helps us not only have our own faith restored in this good news, but to help restore others as well. and for this good news of God's inbreaking presence, for the good news that the Son of Man will come in glory and will execute justice and righteousness and bring about the wholeness that we in this world desperately need. All we can say in response to such good news as this is thanks be to God. Amen.